Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
Uh-oh, here comes my accompanist.
I'll fly away. Here she is now.
I'll fly away, oh glory.
The reason I love this just like this is that we're finally seeing eye to eye, is what I said to her.
When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars is flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a home where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Thank you.
I almost changed the song as she was walking up, just to throw her off. There you go. Hey, where are you at today? You've heard a multitude of prayer on my behalf. I pray one more is not too much to ask. I tried to fight this battle by myself, but I can't win this war without your help. Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. Once upon a time you turned the water into wine, and on my knees I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? So many times I've hurt the ones I loved. I pushed them to the edge of giving up. They stood by me, but how much can they stand if I don't put this bottle in your hand? Tonight I'm as low as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. And once upon a time you turned the water into wine. So on my knees I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? I shook my fist at heaven for all the hell that I've been through. But now I'm asking for forgiveness and a miracle from you. Tonight I'm as low
as any man can go. I'm down and I can't fall much farther. And once upon a time you turned the water into wine. So on my knees I'm turning to you, Father. Would you help me turn the wine back into water? Help me turn the wine back into water.
All right, let's open our Bibles to Exodus, is where we are today. Exodus chapter 4. And let's pray together before we read the scriptures. It's Genesis and then Exodus, right? Let's pray together. Lord, we're not good, but we're yours. You're the one who saved us by the blood of your Son, Jesus. Now we open the scriptures and we see your incredible work throughout all of it. Thank you for this historical moment in the life of Moses. We ask that you'll speak to all of us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. God is calling Moses to rescue the children of Israel out of Egypt. They've fallen into slavery. Oh, they had great favor with the previous Pharaoh. But then a Pharaoh came that didn't know Joseph or any of the Jewish people or regard them as anything other than a group that's overrunning the nation. So they forced him into slavery. God calls to Moses, whose life has been completely shattered. He's tending sheep, which was absolutely detestable to the Egyptians, on the backside of the desert. Been there 40 years. Of course, his calling in life was over. There was never going to be anything more. And then all of a sudden, a bush is burning. And he approaches the bush and God speaks to him. He takes his shoes off because it's a holy place. And God calls him to go and be his representative to Pharaoh in Egypt to get the children of Israel freed. And Moses starts his long, long list of excuses. Let's look at some of them. Moses answered verse 1. What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Smart boy. See that? No dummy there. I had Ed Apple, a bunch of you know Ed. He's a heating and air conditioning guy and a fabulous bass guitar player. He's on tour right now. When he isn't on tour, he's doing air conditioning and heating and cooling. But anyhow, he came over to look at my air conditioner the other day, and he said, okay, my wife is usually with me. She's my snake eyes. And I said, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm scared to death. Every time I get into somebody's flower bed, there's a snake in there. Can you watch for the snakes? Smart boy. Moses, too, he ran from it. And the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said, the Lord. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored, like the rest of his flesh. And the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention for the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some of the water of the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. And Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, here it comes. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, go. I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. An amazing moment in his life. He comes up with every excuse in the world. You know, Lord, they're not going to believe me. I'm just a hick from this side of on the other side of the hills. You know, they're hard-hearted. They're not going to listen. I'm a nobody. Pharaoh will reject my demands. And then finally, his last excuse is this. I don't talk very well. Moses had this problem, probably of a stutter, but he also wasn't quick on his feet. And so he used that as an excuse, and the Lord said this amazing stuff to him. Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, go! I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Do you know that handicaps, what some of us view handicaps, actually enables you? I'm thinking of Johnny Erickson Tata, who broke her neck as a young teenager and has been a quadriplegic for, I think, going on 50 years, 48 maybe, a wonderful woman. And her being in a wheelchair has opened up the whole world to her. Her incredible attitude, her love for God, it's just been infectious. And people from every walk of life look at her and they marvel at her. Her handicap has opened doors. Y'all remember my friend Norman Sluter? Remember he would always ride his bicycle around here, he'd wash windows. Aunt Shirley, did he ever wash windows at the bakery? Do you ever know Norman? Norman, he washed windows everywhere. He didn't do a very good job, but he did his best. And if you gave him donuts, this is Aunt Shirley owned the Looney Baker. And it wasn't about her disposition. It's her last name. It's okay. Norman would go around, you know, and he was special. And his special made it so nobody had their guard up when Norman was around. And Norman told those people, everybody, the gospel, his whole life. I remember going by a work site one day, and all these rough old carpenters, they're taking a break, drinking coffee, and smoking cigarettes. And Norman is standing there with his cassette recorder, playing his pastor's sermon from the week before. And he turned it on. And there was no barriers. His handicap was part of his gift. And to me, it was amazing. Now notice, the Lord uses a specific word here. Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? The idea of giving, this is a gift from the Lord, to me, is amazing. It's not something we're inflicted with. It's something we're given sometimes. And this is true. I had the wonderful opportunity to bury Levina the other day. She and her entire family are deaf. And I was at Riverside Chapel. It was the quietest visitation I ever heard. All you heard was, that was it. I mean, just nothing. All these hands flying. They're laughing. They're telling each other stories. They're remembering stuff about Levina. And nobody makes a noise. The only one that did was her dear husband. He went up and moaned at her casket. It was a guttural thing because he loved her so much. So when I'm sitting down with the family, I said something really stupid. That amazes you, doesn't it? I know. I know all about that. I know. Blew me away too. Oh man, I've asked women if they're pregnant when they weren't. I mean, I've done, you name it. Oh gosh. It's embarrassing. But for Levina's family, her daughter Debbie, deaf, I'm talking to her through an interpreter. And they were so sweet. They had two high-end interpreters and one that stayed by my shoulder the whole time I was with them. I was never left out of a conversation. It was an amazing moment. One of the most moving experiences I've ever had, really. It was awesome. So I said the stupid thing to Debbie. I said, Debbie, isn't it amazing that today your mother can hear? And she looked at me. She didn't need sign language for me to get, you idiot. Okay? That was the look. I recognized the look. And she signed back to my interpreter, we view being deaf a gift. We are believers and it keeps us separate from the world. And then I did said something that she got. I said, so you guys are like audio Amish, huh? That's what you guys are. And she laughed and said, yes. They have this close-knit family. Their love and devotion. And the thing is, in their conversations, there are no interruptions. There's no noises that interrupt. Everything is totally focused on that conversation. They love each other. I referred to it as a handicap. They take it as a calling from God.
It's an honor.
It is. That's right. It is. Who's saying that? Oh, hey, yes, it is. You're right. You were there too. That's right. Amazing stuff. Amazing. So God always calls us to way more than what our abilities are. And in Moses' case, he was called to go free the Egyptians. Now, you know, he had been there. Remember when he was a baby, he was found in a tar-covered basket floating down into the reeds of the Nile River. Pharaoh had said that all Jewish boys, when they're born, should be killed because the Jews were just overrunning Egypt. So to kill the babies, and the midwives wouldn't do it. They kept hiding them. They wouldn't do it, and they kept growing more and more. But when Moses' mother had Moses, she hid him for 3 months and couldn't hide him anymore. And she put him in a basket and floated him down the Nile River into the bulrushes, the cattails down there. Just so happens that it was right by the palace. And Pharaoh's daughter came down with her attendants to bathe. And she saw the basket and told one of her girls to swim out and get it. And when they brought the basket to her, when they opened the lid, God pinched that baby and he started crying. And her heart was broken, and she took him in as her own son. In fact, oh, I need somebody to nurse this baby. And Moses' sister had been watching the basket. And she said to Pharaoh's daughter, ma'am, would you like me to go get a wet nurse for you? And she said, would you please? And he went and got Moses' mother, and she got to keep taking care of him. He was raised as an Egyptian in all the education, but he had been broken as a man. And now he's on the backside of the desert, and his big thorn in the flesh was that he was never able to speak well or think fast on his feet. But God always calls us beyond our ability. If your life is so easy that you're not treading water anywhere in your life, doing the dog paddle, keeping your head above water, there's some area you're not trusting the Lord in. I'm telling you, trying to live beyond your ability is a thing that God calls us all to, because he knows how much we can take. And he allows us to take more than what we think we can take, so we learn about ourselves. It's a beautiful thing. He always calls us to way more than our ability. So here we have a choice. What is it that's holding you back? Is it a disability, physical? Is it a mental disability? Is it something in your past where you were crushed as a child? Things happened to you that should never have happened to any little child ever. And you've carried that your whole life. So you think you're disqualified from being able to do the significant things God calls you to in this world, like raising a family and earning a living and loving the people around you. You don't have the ability to do that because of whatever handicap that is. Well, we all have a choice. And that is, we're either going to complain, we're going to be critical about ourselves, or we're going to be embracing what God has made. Let me give to you the New Living Translation's version of Psalm 139:14. It says this. Thank you. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Do you know God made you to be exactly you? Even with the brokenness and all of that, he's going to use you in the midst of all of it. But we've got to get to the point where we embrace the struggles that we're in, or the problems that we have, because God is going to use those things in our lives to make us what we're supposed to be. You have a problem with drinking? A whole lot of us that struggle. And there's nothing like somebody who's been through it all that can tell. Were you abused? There's nobody that understands like a person who's also been through it and lived through it. I mean, the Lord turns our handicaps into what enables us. And there's another thing too. Our needs are what equip us. Let me show you what I mean. God says to him, first of all, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? You are in the situation you're right now because he put you there. You're right where you need to be. And now, those particular needs are equipping you for what God has for you in the future. Now go, he says in verse 12. Our weakness opened an incredible door. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see what Paul said about a struggle he had. And we don't know what it was. We don't know if it's a physical problem or if it's a problem because he was being persecuted. We don't know. But Paul didn't like it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, listen to this. Paul wrote, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations. Stop for a moment. Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Maybe 14 if you wrote Hebrews. I mean, stuff was coming to him. He knew he was being greatly used by God. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations, there was given me, there it is again, it's a gift, a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Did you hear that? He pleaded with the Lord to remove this difficult thing from his life, and the Lord said, no, you need this. Embrace it. It's going to help you. It's, to me, a beautiful thing. That's where our responsibility is. When our responsibility meets our needs, our inability just becomes so evident to us. When we encounter God in a whole new way in the midst of this, though, do you know that God's promises are true? None of them can fail, the scripture says. Joshua was told to lead the people of Israel into the land of promise, and he did it. And at the end of that, in Joshua 21, not one of all the Lord's good promises failed. Every one was fulfilled. God has made promises to you, and he will never let you go. And you can trust them. He's going to fulfill them. Do you know there's such a great design behind your life? I mean, of course, who we are as individuals, how we are made up physically, how we're made up emotionally. God designed all that. So we'll be exactly what he needs in this world, exactly what he wants from us. And all we have to do is trust that engineering. He's also engineering the world around you. Who puts certain people into political positions? Read the scriptures. God does it. Sometimes he does it to punish a nation. But he's always doing it to bring about his incredible purpose in your life. All you have to do is trust it. In fact, it's going to drive you to the Lord, and you are going to learn things you've never learned before. One of the deaf mutes was Debbie's brother, Richard. He spoke at the funeral. We had a podium so everyone can see his signing. And it's so interesting. He told this story of being a little boy when he went out into the real world. He didn't even know there was a speaking world. All he knew was the silence within himself and the ability to communicate with his hands and his face. That's all he knew. And when he was 6 or 7 years old and he went to school, he realized people could just move their mouths and other people would perceive what they were saying. It blew him away. He had no idea there was another way to communicate in this world. I want you to know, you think you got to tough it out and make it all happen and make God proud of you. You know what you need to do? Admit your real struggles and ask him to fulfill his promises in you and trust those promises. He said, Paul said, he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Christ. You know what that means? He's going to get her done. That's what that means. He's going to do it. To me, that is a beautiful thing. All we have to do is trust it. I stopped by to pick up some to-go food. Debbie and I split a chicken parmesan the other night from Fino's restaurant. George is my buddy. George is a car guy. He sells souvlaki and drives a Rolls Royce. Well, now he bought a Mercedes convertible. It's a hardtop 2-seater convertible. And he's all proud because it was, I don't know, $110,000 for the car. And he got it for a third of the price. He was all, oh, you got to see my car. Oh, it's so good. He took me out one day and showed it to me. I thought, oh, it's beautiful. So I'm waiting for the to-go food, and he gets in the drawer. And he says, go ahead. I'll wrap up your food. You take this for a ride. So I get in this thing, start it up. The first thing was all the Albanian music. I turned that thing off. Whew, man. I mean, it sounds like somebody with really bad, like having surgery with no anesthetic or something. It is terrible. I cannot figure out. They call that music. I said to George, listen, if you listen to a song by your namesake, George Jones, it'll change your life, buddy boy. You'll actually be able to remember a melody instead of, that was the bad part. The good part was I started that bad boy up. And I took it out on Dixie, and I drove a mile or so, and I said, I wonder what this baby will do. Ho! Twin turbos! kicking in under the hood. I mean, it was scared me to death. Fastest thing I ever drove in my life. It was awesome. Do you know how much engineering goes into a Mercedes? Into any car. It amazes me that we got stuff that you can turn the key and go. Men and women can come up with that and design it and build the parts and then assemble it and everything works. That's amazing to me. Oh, but this twin turbo, dude, oh, was unbelievable. I took it back. I said, man, that's the best car I ever drove. He said, tell your people at church they've got to take a couple more offerings for you. I said to him, ain't going to happen, bro. So anyhow, he is so funny. All that technology, all of that under the hood, it had a massage chair front seats. I could have lived in that car. So here's the thing. I didn't have to understand all the technology of that car. All I had to do was hammer the gas pedal. Press the gas pedal and go. God fulfills all of his promises. We don't have to overthink it. We don't personally have to make it happen. We just have to trust it and go. Jesus said to Peter when he was standing on the water, come on. He didn't have to figure it out. But Jesus has called us to just step out and do it. And here's the best part of having weaknesses. The best part of having what we might perceive a handicap, he becomes so dear to us because you need him. I know an old couple, they've been married 45 years. It hasn't been very good. They argue a lot, too strong. You think after 45 years, they'd have figured it out, but they hadn't. Then something happened. Billy got sick and could do nothing for himself, and his wife stepped up and took care of that turkey for months and months and months and nursed him back to health. You know what happened in that time? He fell in love with his wife again. All the distractions were gone. All he could do was depend on her. And she took care of him. They're like newlyweds. It's almost embarrassing to be around them now. Anyhow. You're going to find that he loved you. You're going to find that he'll give you all that you need. But this thing you're trying to get out of, this thing you wish would just go away, ask the Lord to remove it. And if he does, wonderful. And if he doesn't, you have to embrace that thing and realize God's going to use that in your life and make you what he's called you to be. Pastor Gall, one of the first sermons he ever preached, 17 years ago when he came back, he preached a sermon entitled Clay Pots. Remember that? And it's about Paul's statement, we have this treasure in jars of clay. That was their common ball jar, okay, of the day. It's not about how fancy the jar is, it's how wonderful the Lord is that fills our lives. And that's what's going to be seen. Paul said, when I am weak, oh man, that's when I'm really, really strong. I'll read it to you one more time. The Lord says, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. Is there a better place on earth to be than to saying, Lord, I have no clue what's going on here. You have to teach me. What a wonderful place to be. Each of us will be there someday. Embrace those things in your life that you're struggling with. Ask the Lord to use them. Trust him and keep following him. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on, stand up. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we give you all the excuses that Moses gave you to. You're so patient. And I know right after you told Moses what we just read, his next statement is, Lord, I know all that, but please send somebody else. You remember, you were so gracious. And we asked for your help for each of us, that we will take what you've given us and simply walk through this life, waiting for the doors to open, watching and trusting you for your help. Thank you for helping our mouths and our minds and our bodies. Thank you for being personally involved with us, a whole new language, like Richard said, that he didn't know existed. We're supposed to walk with you and you teach us. Lord, would you invade the life of all of us in a new way? May we understand you. Help us. Thank you for this time together and for the Son of today. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.